morning, good afternoon, good night.
This is Kinley
and Brooklyn.
And today, this is the part two of the medieval
books and newspapers. So, we pulled up some facts on my phone right here. Let's see.
It's not facts, it's more like books that were really popular back then.
We'll get to facts in a little bit. These are books.
Yeah, I have a fact.
Yeah, these are 10 books that were really popular back then. So I'll start off with the first one. All right. National bestseller, The Norman Conquest. I think that's how you said that. The Battle of Hastings and the Fall of Anglo-Saxon England. It's hard to read that. By Mark.
The Norman Conquest.
Yes, by Mark Morris. So, historian Mark Morris chronicles the Norman conquest of England and the seismic cultural changes that it caused in the USA today. Bestseller described by Publishers Weekly as readable authors. Authoritative. Tative. And remarkably nuanced. So that is really cool, actually. Let's see. And then the rest is just what it's about. But I'm sure y'all can Google that and look at it.
We're giving you names, so you have a very good thing. Okay. So you have a very solid, good thing to read off of about. The next book is The Roman Empire and the Silk Routes. So, The Roman Empire and the Silk Routes by Raoul McLaggen? I don't know. I'm sorry. But you can probably Google the name of the book and see for yourself. Because I don't know. Another one is The Great Betrayal by Ernol Bradford. Interesting. And then The Vikings by Neil Oliver. That sounds interesting. The book cover is also really cool. It reminds me of Percy Jackson. A few more is A Distant Mirror by Barbara W. Tuchman. I don't know. Is that Tuchman or Tuchman?
That is Barbara W. Tuchman.
Tuchman. I thought so. You wanna?
Okay. Okay. The Great Mortality by John Kelly. So, The Great Mortality, an intimate history of the Black Death, the most devastating plague of all time. It's actually kind of cool. That'd be actually really cool to talk about, because it's about the Black Death, which we talked about in one of our podcasts. And y'all know, it's basically Black Death versus COVID-19. And this is actually about Black Death, which is really cool. The plague. It says the most devastating plague of all time. But I don't know about that. I mean, it was in 1347. The Black Death reached medieval Europe's southern shores via Genoese merchant ships returning from the east. By 1351, it had ravaged the continent, laying waste to a third of Europe's population. In this harrowing account, John Kelly draws on a wealth of source material, from historical records to chilling journal entries and letters to recreate the pandemic's path of ruin across Europe. So it's actually really cool. That's what the book is about. And the next one, Kenley will read to you one more time because I need to catch my breath real quick.
Ah, it looks like a queen. Eleanor of Aquitaine. A Life by Alison Weir. So it was a New York Times best-selling author, Alison Weir, is a master of the regal biography. So I was right. It's a queen.
So Life of Elizabeth.
That's oh, it's from the Life of Elizabeth the First to Mistress of the Monarchy, the Life of Catherine Swinford, Duchess of Lancaster, and Queen Isabel. So that's just a few more books I think she wrote.
Yeah. Okay, the next book, Foundation, the History of England from its earliest beginnings to the Tudors. So that's the next book. And by the way, Tudors is spelled T-U-D-O-R-S.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. By Peter Ackroyd. Pretty sure I pronounced that right. It's A-C-K-O-R-O-Y-D. So Ackroyd. Okay. So it was acclaimed English chronicler Peter Ackroyd is the author of numerous books, including a multi-volume set on the history of England. So he has wrote lots of books, especially on the history of England, which is really cool. Has a whole multi-volume set. Foundations published in 2011. In his first in the series, in it, Ackroyd charts the nation's ancient story, from the construction of Stonehenge to the religious monuments and royal wars of medieval England and the reign of Henry V, I think that, or 6. It's kind of hard to see it because it's like a V and like two eyes, I think that's 5.
Here, that's Greek numbers. I can
yeah, because we have a clock like that, but I can't remember which number that is. So she's searching that up. But The next one is really cool. It's literally about medieval. It's called Life in a Medieval City. That's very cool. By Francis and Joseph Gates. Pretty sure that's both their last names. So. Okay. Francis and Joseph invite readers into the city of Troyes for an intimate look at what medieval city life was like in this charming historical work. The first in a series that also includes Life in a Medieval Castle and Life in a Medieval Village. So they have many of Life in Medieval. The husband...
Was it?
The rest of it is just about book. So apparently that number was 7, actually.
It was 7.
Yeah, so the foundation book that I was talking about, so it basically was talking about how what the book is like, and it said monuments and royal wars in medieval England in the reign of Henry VII. So that's what that number was. I just wanted to tell you. Shush, nothing. Oh my gosh, I think that is the last book. So I'm going to have Kinley search up some more newspapers, actually.
No. We're going to Google what the medieval books were made of.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Hey. So most medieval manuscripts were written on specially treated animal skins called parchment or vellum. Paper did not become common in Europe until around 1450. The pelts were first soaked in a lime solution to loosen the fur, which was then removed. So basically, like rubber, kind of. That's kind of gross. Oops. What were books called in the medieval times? Medieval manuscript. Oh, that's
a lot of stuff to say. Yeah, it's just like a big word.
A medieval manuscript is a coded It's PL or PI. I don't know.
Let me see.
Code. Is that an uppercase I or made no?
It says PL dot okay. Codices.
Okay, meaning codices. A book made of pages around between two boards. So that's nice to know. Hold up.
By the way, I wanted to tell y'all that the number 7 that we were looking up, it's actually in Roman numbers.
Yeah, not
so I just
Greek.
Want to tell y'all.
Not Greek.
Yeah, it was Roman numbers.
Trust me, it's not Greek.
So it was Henry 7 in Roman numbers. Anywho, yay. Carry on, Kinley.
Who first invented the newspaper? Now, maybe might not be in the medieval, but it's a cool fact.
Joan Corollis. Kind of hard to pronounce.
Yeah. 1575 through the 1634 was the publisher of the Relation aller Fornemen?
Hold on. There's like Fornemen.
Fornemen. And oh, that's a big word.
Let's see. Fornemen and whoa.
Okay. Someone historian. You can just Google it, I promise. Historian, collection of the distinguished and commemorable news. The relation is organized by the World Association, not assassination, oh my god, of newspapers. Newspapers, as well as many authors, the world's first newspaper. Oh my god. So, like 1575, I think, was when the first newspaper was invented.
Yes. Okay, so about that word. So, Joe and Carlos, 1575, 1634, was the publisher of the Rick and Oliver Fornemen, and John Dick Wordigan, historian. Yeah, I know. I don't know what kind of word that is, but I just want to pronounce it for you.
What? Okay, let me do the next one.
I'm excited.
So there's some of those and stuff. So while she's looking through some links and stuff,
okay.
Just think in your head, what is your favorite book? What's your favorite author? If you have a favorite series, go ahead and say that. I don't think you can comment, but
so hold on. That's not right actually. I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm still trying to look over facts.
And sorry if it's a bit loud in the background. We're at school still.
Yes. How was the first newspaper made?
Paper?
Yes. The first American newspaper was printed in 1690. It was called...
Printed?
Yes. It was called Public Occurrences, both foreign and domestic.
Domestic? Domestic.
Yeah. Right. In 1848, the Times used as a rotary printing press with the printing face wrapped around a cylinder for the first time. Meanwhile, the Observer was founded in 1791. Sorry. So that is actually kind of cool.
Your numbers mixed up. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I know.
Okay, what were newspapers called in the 1700s? That's a little weird.
I don't know.
I'm not gonna lie, who would search up that question? But let's
maybe
see.
Maybe they want to speak medieval times.
I don't know. Most colonial newspapers were simply titled using the colonies. Oh, I accidentally went out of it. Okay. Using the colonies, named followed by Gazette. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Gazette.
Some people still, like, the newspaper, the Gazette or something.
Yeah. We compiled the list of the other 12 colonial newspaper titles and originally publishing dates. That is actually kind of cool.
Yay.
Ooh, how much did a newspaper cost in 1930? Not that much, apparently. It says 1930, March 7th, 1930, newspaper cost 2 cents. Wow. If it's going to, I would say if newspaper is going to cost even if newspaper costs at least 2 cents, then you shouldn't even make it cost anything if it's 2 cents. 2 cents is literally like nothing. So, I mean, yeah. Oh, I kind of. Whoops, I went out of it. Kinley, can you go back to it? Something happened. Sorry.
What do you mean?
Okay, so she's figuring that out. That was actually kind of weird. I mean, why would you even make it cost 2 cents? That's just like nothing, so just make it nothing. You know?
She's gonna have to find the link again. Sorry we're doing this. Okay. Something happened. My Google doesn't like me right now.
Okay, let me look at this real quick.
Okay. Wait.
How would you change?
Sorry about that.
Okay. Okay, so I know we're on books and newspaper, but we don't really have much else to talk about that since this is like part two and we already did part one. So I'm going to go straight
into... We're kind of leading into something else.
Yes, I'm going to go straight into actually time. So
time management. That's really important, especially whenever you become an adult or go to college and school.
Yes.
Time management is really important. My whole family learned the hard way, actually. Most people learn it the hard way. Some people are smart and learn it the easy way.
But. The first question, how did medieval peasants tell time? Good question. I don't know.
What did the royal family do? Be like, servant, what time is it?
You never know.
Did they have clocks?
During the Middle Ages, people used a combination of water clocks, sundials, and candle clocks to tell time. What even
candle clocks?
Yeah, I don't know.
They light it at 8 o'clock, and whenever it's all burnt out, it's 12?
Right? Like, it's midnight.
So we will continue on part with two time. Later.
Yes, so that was our leading question to next time.
Yep. Good.
Okay. Good night, good afternoon, good morning.
This is Kinley
and Brooklyn. Bye, y'all.
Bye.